Today, I am talking about a guide to successful Christian living. You know, it's funny, the end of my week didn't end as good as it started. So I was talking to Melody about it Friday because it was a tough few days. And I said, and guess what I'm talking about Sunday? Hopefully. Well, I know what I'm talking about because I got the notes. Oh, okay. Today I'm going to talk about a guide to successful Christian living. Okay. My foot, Job. Lord, I know what that means. My foot, Job says. Now, let me tell you about Job. In the beginning of Job, Satan and God are having a talk. And I've learned from this book, I never want God to mention my name to Satan. Let me summarize it real quick. So basically, God said, hey, look at Job. And Satan goes, yeah, that's because you protect him. So what happens to Job? He loses everything he owns. And all of his children die. The words of Job. And then his wife lovingly. Then he gets all these boils, and I'm not talking about acne, I'm not talking about sunburn, I am talking about excruciating pain. Look it up and describe and see what it is. It wasn't pretty. So his wife lovingly, in the grace and compassion of God, goes, curse God and die. So not even his closest companion is with him looking up. And yes, I understand he's frustrated, but he says, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. Amen. But he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. For he will complete, what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. Lord God, let that be us. Let that be us, God. We need to cling to your word. When we encounter various situations in life, we need to go to the Bible to see how to respond, to see how to live, O Lord. In the midst of unbelievable pain, emotional, physical, Job didn't turn his back on you. As we read the book, we see that he went through journeys of emotions, of frustrations, of anger. That's okay, Lord. You're a big God. When we get angry, we can vent to you. But it needs to bring us to a place of repentance and to trust in the midst of the unknown. So, Lord, a guide to successful Christian living is following the example of Job, who never wavered from making your word important in his life, Lord. Help that be us today, Lord. In your name, amen. You know, one of the things that I have found, it's really invaluable to get advice from other people, to talk to people that are experts, you know. You guys might remember we used to have a man that used to minister here, an older gentleman named Laddie McGadonna. And I remember talking to him here in Oswego and when he ministered up in Copenhagen. And you know, he just had this demeanor about him. I remember once I was really going through it. And he talked to me about 30 seconds and calmed me. And it's funny, it totally changed my life. You know, I was a junior high teacher for 3 years in the early 80s. And my dad was a college professor. And I remember just calling and talking to him. And I'm going through it. And I knew life was over. And I wanted to, you know, kill students. And if you taught junior high, you understand. You know, and just talking to him. And sometimes, in the most inopportune times, he would just do this little laugh. But it wasn't sarcastic. And it wasn't demeaning. It let me know, hey, Dick, it's going to be okay. I'm going to walk through this with you. And that's what I want to look at today. You know, one of the biggest lies in the world today is we need to be independent. I mean, you know what? Independence is not something God endorses. Looking at being a disciple of Jesus, we have to use wisdom on who we follow. We have to learn. You know, sometimes I've talked to people, I've done marriage counseling, and they said to me, well, I talked to Joe Schmo, and this is what they told me. I want to say, they're on their third marriage. Well, I'm serious. Why would you even think about talking to them? We need to know who to follow. Like I said, Satan received permission from God. You can do it. Go against my man Job. See what happens. But you know what I love? Job 2:10 says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. What are you going through today? Maybe you're going through hardship. God wants to use it to try you so your faith comes out good as gold. I know it's going to stink at times. I know it's going to hurt. But we have to trust God and keep committed to him. We need to remain committed to being strong and steadfast for Jesus Christ. The next point I want to make is we need to be unwavering. We have to trust the wisdom of God. Life is full of highs and lows, both of which will put our faith to the test. I want you to be a seagull. I remember when I was in college and I was part of Riggs Pigs, you know, I was a junior and I transferred from Oneonta up to Oswego, and there's a bunch of Christians in Riggs, which was like a freshman dorm at the time, so I transferred there. And I remember one day just going to the end of the hallway, and we're having one of these Oswego storms, and the wind is blowing, and the wind is just whipping, and I see a bunch of seagulls flying into the wind. And then when they got tired and they let their wings go, they go back 5 feet. Then they would keep going. Now, I watched them for like 20 minutes, and they maybe only went 30 yards, but they didn't quit. The storms were coming against them. The wind was hurting them, but they were determined to get to where they're going. Where are we going? We're going to heaven, but guess what? We are to grow in our relationship with God and in our faith with Christ. Verses 11 and 12 again, he says, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than the portion, my portion of food. God's law, Job made it important to us. And I'm going to say, if God's word, reading his word, and I mean also studying it, is not important to you, your faith will suffer. That comes from God. We need to feed ourselves. We need to study God's word. We need to, man, we've got to be faithful in that. When you make concessions and, I'm not going to read, but isn't it funny? Tomorrow morning, I may not feel like getting up and reading the word, but I'll turn on my ESPN app and see how much the Broncos beat the Bills by. I mean, that'll make my day. Hey, you wear the shirts to church, you're going to get picked on. Anyways, what I'm saying is, how important to you is God's word? You're going through a hard time? Live in the book of Psalms is my advice. When we start making concessions and taking steps back, you're on the road to becoming lukewarm for God. And if you're not careful, your heart will be hard toward God. How dare you say that? Because I've seen it happen multiple times. I've seen my life get so busy for God that I forget to bring God along, then I get cold. You know, there are many ways our faith gets tested. If we're not careful, we're going to be tempted to put our foot up on the, off the gas. You know what? If you're going through a hard time, you need to pray more. You need to read the Word more. You need to spend time with God. What I do also is, like today, I came into the office. I'm praying. I'm done. I'm ready to go. And I just listen to worship music. God prepares my heart. The Old Testament, man, the worshipers went first as they went into battle. See, Job had a dilemma. We all encounter it. We struggle when we see godly people struggle. Well, if there is a loving God, why would Katie Raflowski, excuse me, have cancer? That's life. I hate the fact, but we live in broken bodies in a broken world. Job didn't understand. He's wrestling with the fact, with why is this happening to me, God? I've been following you. And his three stupid friends are trying to blame him because they know you're doing something wrong. It's like a friend of mine in high school. Her dad got really sick, and the mom said, well, if you went to church more, you wouldn't be sick. Well, I'm sorry. Coming in these doors isn't going to mean you're not sick. But the principle was we got to keep closer to God. One of the biggest victims to our faith is self-pity. Oh, woe is me. Self-pity's pride. How do you know? I've been there a million times. Why is it pride? Because I look at me and not God. I look at everything I'm going through and not the Lord. Now, what are some of the obstacles to our faith? I hope. Things that war against our faith. You know what? I'm just going to do this. Okay, let me tell you. Glad you asked. Unmet expectations. Now let me tell you about God. He doesn't always get it right. I'm sorry. I deserve $1 million and 2 months in, Key West. How cool would that be right now? God doesn't give it to me. You know, I remember when I went up to Copenhagen, I had a good friend of mine in church say, man, God is going to bless you so much because you're obeying him. And I believe that lie. I thought, man, I'm going to be skipping on rainbows. You know what? I'm going to open the doors and gold's going to come out. Woo! Solomon, eat your heart out. First 18 months up there was living hell. Excuse my language. You know what God told me? I love you, Beaumont, but you're an idiot. Why? Because of spiritual warfare. We have unmet expectation. Or how about unspoken hurts? Have you ever been hurt? You don't have to raise your hand because I know you have. Hurts don't take God away from me. When I get hurt, I go to God. And I'd say, and yes, I can vent. I yell at God sometimes. He's a big God. He can handle it. But then I always, with my personality, that lasts about 4.5 seconds. And I say, God, I'm sorry. I need you. See, my unspoken hurts have to turn me to God, or I'm going to be looking at my own heart. Thank you. Suffering hardships is kind of like unspoken hurts. How about pride? The biggest enemy to our faith is pride. I don't think God should do it this way. I think I deserve this position rather than that. What's that old song? I think it went something like, and if I get it wrong, forgive me, I would rather be a doorkeeper in your house than to live my whole life somewhere else. That is so good, and we can sing that on Sunday morning, but when we see other people get acknowledged, our hearts aren't quite there. So we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's what I loved about today's worship. We got to the end, and my eyes were fully on the Lord. How about misled priorities? I like what the gauntlet Bill gave us at the end. What would we do if you had everything and God said, I want you to give it all up for me? We can read those words and we can say, of course I would, Lord. We got to pray through it. Or how about natural preferences? I know you have them. I've been in ministry for almost 38 years. And I have heard people complain about the stupidest things. And I want to say to them, can I have your life? If you're going to talk to me because you don't like the color of the carpet, or if you don't like that we sang three songs rather than four during worship, then please exchange lies with me, because I have a whole lot more stuff that's important than that. So, you know what I learned about God? He doesn't care what I think. He loves me. Please don't hear me wrong. But if I say, but God, I want to do this. Oh, yeah, okay, Bo. It's kind of like giving your little grandson the keys to the car. But Grandpa, I want to drive. Okay. Boom, and you're all meeting with Jesus in person. So I have to learn all these things, my expectations, my hurts, my hardship, my pride, my priorities, my preferences. They wage war against our faith if we don't stay in the Word. I'm not saying we don't get frustrated. I'm not saying we don't get mad or confused. I'm not saying we don't, sometimes we just don't understand, but we can't allow those things to lead us astray. And by faith, I say, yes. In all of this, Job didn't sin or charge God with wrong. I remember his Halloween, the day before Halloween, 1986, I believe. My youngest daughter, 6 months old, low blood sugar, went to Dr. Kim. They rushed her to the hospital. Everybody's running around. Dr. Kim came out and said, we don't think she's going to live. We go in and pray for her, and she has all these tubes in her head. Pete Mayer came, he's the pastor, and prayed, and she gives him a little smile. So I did the mature thing. We went back in the waiting room, and I said to my wife, if that girl dies, I'm getting drunk tonight. And I heard a little voice inside of me. Maybe God's not sarcastic with you, but I know the language. That's how he speaks with me. He said, boy, that will teach me. So all we did, we got down, we sat down, said, Lord, whatever happens for me and my house, we're going to serve you. In all of this, his children died. You go home this afternoon, you lose everything you own, and your whole family is dead, except for your wife who's a nag. In all of this, Job didn't sin or charge God with wrong. Amen and hallelujah. Another thing I want to talk about, we need faith in the dark. Job's suffering is due to Satan arguing with God or anybody that people are righteous and faithful just because God protects them. Sometimes we go through things and God allows it to, so we grow and we get closer to him. We need to trust the purpose of God. Don't trust your own understanding, because as many times God does things that make no sense to me. You see, what happens is we struggle with the warfare. We struggle with trying to emphasize the natural over the spiritual. I need to worship God and praise him even when life is hard. I can't allow my emotions to retreat. I have to take control and minister to myself and worship God and read his word and not allow my natural inclinations and my sin nature to be in control. Like I said, Job's friends blamed him because they couldn't understand that a just God would allow a righteous person to suffer. Genesis 15 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Abram, I am a shield to you. Your reward will be very great. Hey, new covenant, God is a shield to you. Thank you for being here today. It's January. It's not warm. You got up and you came. Thank you. That's one step in being a disciple, is stepping out when maybe you don't feel like it. But I love this verse. Hey, guess what, Dick? What, God? I'm a shield to you. You can take my life. You can take my finances. You can take everything. You can never take my salvation, because I got God. I like what Larry Stockstill wrote in The Remnant. Faith and fear are enemies. They are not able to coexist. Doubt, fear, and unbelief can stop any miracle. Doesn't mean God's still not going to move. But what it means is fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is jumping off a cliff, not literal, and knowing that God is going to hold you. Faith always has to involve a risk. Faith is not being comfortable unless you get to the place of being comfortable, being uncomfortable, because you know God has you. That's where Job was. Even in the midst of his miss of not understanding, he kept his eyes on God. I understand it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to go in survival mode. When I'm doing bad, I just want to turn on sports and have about 18 gallons of peanut butter pandemonium followed by hot dogs, and life is good. But I got a doctor saying, probably not a good idea. Cut it back to 10 gallons, so we're okay, God. When I first started coming to this church, Paul Wagner was the pastor. And he says, you have to know it, and you know her. You have to know it, and you know her. You have to know that God is for you, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that nothing can come between you and God. You have to believe it. Even when it hurts, even when you're depressed, even when life doesn't make sense, and the fact is you don't want to go on, I get that, I do. But you have to know it in your knower that God is for you. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. To summarize the book of Job simply is, we need to humbly recognize that human wisdom amounts to nothing before God. You know, early on in Job 1, Satan goes, does Job fear God for nothing? We encounter spiritual warfare. We encounter struggles. I remember once we went through so much crud that we went through a couple months of being, it was okay, things are good. But this is where you can get pessimistic. But I couldn't enjoy it because I knew the other shoe was going to drop. But I can't wait for tomorrow. It has enough worries of its own. I got to concentrate on today. Okay, forget this. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp for my feet. Close your eyes. I'm not done, but please close your eyes. Your word, God, is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. Please make that commitment to God. Please make that commitment to yourself. That you won't go another day without personally being in God's word, not for legal reasons, but to be fed spiritually. You can open your eyes. The last point I'm going to make is we need to respond rightly. Ephesians 4:16, in your anger, do not sin. It's okay, as I said multiple times, it's okay to get emotional. I am an emotional person. But I can't be led by my emotions. It's okay to be emotional before God. He can handle it. But we need to pray through it, not allowing your anger to become bitter and cause you to be resentful. Like I said, yes, sometimes I vent to God, but it really isn't long because I fear God. I just say, God, this is what I'm going through. Please help me. I don't understand. And I am not going to tell you that then I get up off my knees and all of a sudden I get it now. No, I still don't get it, but I trust God. I know he's going to come through for me because he always has. You know, we see in Job, that 23, that he was frustrated. He didn't understand. He's afraid. One point I do want to make, we need to have a fear of the Lord. I am not talking about you're scared of God. I'm not talking about you're hiding in the corner or that he's like a monster under the bed. But I'm going to tell you something that is missing in many churches in America today. There's not a fear of God. We live our life the way we want to. Read Corinthians. Read what it says when it goes, you lead this lifestyle, you don't have heaven. We don't like that. We don't have fear of God. Well, when I do something, I want to revere God and to be afraid. I've said this before. It's like when I was in high school in my first year of college at Morrisville, when I started to party and do all these things, you know, I had Anna Smith in my life. That was my grandmother. She was an awesome Christian. And there's times I didn't do things because I didn't want to end up in the police blotter and to have my grandmother read my name in the paper. I want to fear God that way. I want to fear God in a way that says, I want my words, I want my actions, I want my heart to point to you, Lord, and not to me. Well, it's okay if I sleep around. It's okay if I do this. It's okay if I lie on my taxes. It's okay if I complain about the president. Well, my word says it's a sin. We give ourselves way too much grace. That's not a fear of God. We need to have a healthy reverence for the Lord. Fearing God motivates us to live a righteous life, looking to please Him how we live. If I go to each one of your houses and go, I go to your neighbors and I say, hey, they're a Christian. If they went, yeah, right, and I'm the Pope, then we'd have a problem. But if I go to them and say, hey, you're a Christian, they go, man, tell me about it. They do the snowblower at 6:30 every Sunday morning because they got to go to church. We got to live for the Lord. There's a misunderstanding of grace. Grace isn't, oh, God forgives me so I can do whatever I want to today because God forgives me. Do you want to gamble your salvation on that? I don't. But Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and heal people? Get away from me. I didn't know you. That has to scare us. And I'm not trying to be mean today, but I'm trying to be truthful. That there is a lie. That is why the progressive church is growing strength in America. Because people do not know the word of God. That's okay, because if you go to progressive church, they tell you it's just a book written by people. When we hear stuff like that, we have to be on our knees and praying for people. But that's a message for another day. I just took a sidetrack. Today, I'm coming to a close. We need to make a commitment for Jesus Christ. Could you guys sing Rescue when I'm done in about 5 minutes, please? Sorry, I forgot to ask them. Let's grow together in being disciples for Jesus Christ. I want to be a student for the Lord. Like I said, I've been on this earth a while. The older I get, the more I realize what I do not know. When I was young, I knew it all. Maybe I got amnesia or something. I don't know. But now I realize I don't. Should I step out in faith? Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. New Covenant, we're going to sing this song. I love you, Jesus, come to my rescue. And I want you to make a commitment. Maybe God's going to tell you to come out into the aisle. I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying he might. I want you to make that commitment because I know some of you are struggling. And I want you just to cry out to God. And maybe during that song you need prayer. It's okay to say to your neighbor, hey, would you pray for me? And if somebody does that to your neighbor, only pray for like 20 seconds, please. God knows what's going on. Let us hold tightly without wavering. So application, we need to be unwavering in our faith to Jesus Christ. Allow the Bible to guide you, teach you, and strengthen you. Faith trusts God in the middle of hardship and suffering. We won't always understand, but we need to remain faithful. Surviving life as a Christian emphasizes God, the Bible, prayer, and fellowship, and we need to fear the Lord. So, God, as we go into this last song, let us renew our commitment to you. For those who are really hurting right now, Lord, let them open wide their hearts to you, Father God. Let us be like Job, who didn't turn from your word. Yes, in his frustrations, he didn't understand, said some things he probably shouldn't have, but he didn't turn from you, oh God. And he clung to your word. I love that word. He clung, just like me. He dug his fingers in. He was not letting go of the truth of God. Let that be the cry of our hearts, oh Lord. And as we sing this last song, Jesus, let us commit to you. In your name, amen. Would you stand?
You are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you, 'cause I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. My heart yours for life. I need your hand in mine. No one else will do. I put my trust in you. I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. This world has nothing for me.
I will follow you.
This world has nothing for me.
I will follow you.
This world has nothing for me.
I will follow you.
This world has nothing for me. God bless your week.